I love it when Jesus calls the political leaders, "You fox, tell that fox." I got a political leader that I'd like to say a few things to. I'm carrying a Bible this morning. This is my mother's Bible. This is the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, the New King James Version. I can't stand the King James Version. Of course she would have the New King James Version. All throughout this Bible, though, there's underlined passages from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. My mother's buried right up there on top of that there peak. She passed away, it was 2008 she passed away here in Colorado Springs. I love to talk about my mother. She was a little Irish lady. She had this little fella that she talked about, McGurk. It was an imaginary little thing that always stole her sunglasses and her car keys when she couldn't find them. So McGurk is the problem for everything. And I was starting to think about, what am I going to say in Pastor Claire's pulpit? Oh my gosh, like how do you measure up? How do I speak from this prophetic place, this prophetic church? You know, and I just started thinking, Brian, just start talking about how you came in here, you know? And I can tell you that when I drove by, I was with my girlfriend Tina, and we saw a sign. It was actually a banner you had at that time. You didn't have the flagpole. But it said, "Black Lives Matter." And I thought, that might be a church I could go to. Might pop in there someday. Because you see, this was, 2016, and I'd already been kicked out of the United Methodist Church, so I was trying to figure out where I might belong. But seriously, it is an honor to preach here and to be a part of this church. I've just found it to be such a welcoming place, and I feel called to be here. When we heard those words of comfort this morning from the UCC about New Zealand, I was just thinking about the 50 people that lost their lives and the 50 people that are still injured in the hospital. That's 100 people in a foreign country affected by an ideology that seeks to divide and kill and conquer. And it sounds like this strange ideology, like who would ever think of such a thing? In the scriptures this morning, there's this guy called Herod. He's kind of a tyrant too. See, he's the son of Herod the Great. You know, he was a great Herod. He's the guy that killed all the babies, remember? Because they were hunting for Jesus, and he figured, it's too hard to find Jesus. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. I'll just kill all the babies under the age of 2. That'll take care of it. Yeah, that's Herod the Great. Well, this is his son. So he has ambitions to be greater than Herod the Great. So when the Pharisees come to tell Jesus, "Hey, you better watch out. Herod's looking for you." One might think that, hey, they're kind of watching Jesus' back, right? But remember, these are the Pharisees that tried to throw Jesus off a cliff not too long ago. So I'm kind of thinking they didn't really have his best interest in mind when they were saying, "Hey, you might want to be careful. Herod's looking to kill you." Because they kept talking about Herod's wanting to kill you in Jerusalem. See, in Jerusalem, that's where Jesus was headed. And we know kind of in the end how the story ends up. It doesn't end up so well for Jesus, let's just say that. And so he has this Herod who's telling, or these Pharisees are telling him that Herod is going to kill him, And he's thinking, yeah, I don't think he really cares that much about me. So he says, tell that fox I'm busy. I'm healing people. I'm casting out demons. And I'm going to do that today, and I'm going to do that tomorrow. And then maybe on the third day I'll get to Jerusalem. The third day. Three. Did you know three is a pretty magic number? So Jesus responds. Now, I don't know. I probably would have. I liked how he responded. I might have responded with a hand gesture or two, but he responds and he says, no, tell that fox I'm busy healing. I'm casting out demons. So instead of responding in violence, of course, Jesus responds in love, which really is annoying, right? I just like Jesus to go whack him. But the problem with that is if everybody starts to look like a nail and you're the hammer, right? We know how that saying goes. So Jesus is leading a nonviolent resistance. He's leading a revolution and bringing healing to all of the poor. Now think about this. If you're a political leader with ambitions to be the king of the Jews, and this guy is walking around and he's getting a lot of crowd sizes. This guy could gather a crowd. So the religious leaders are a little bit concerned, and the political leaders are a little bit concerned of this collusion that's happening. I am reading about the Bible. I'm telling you, this is in the scriptures. It's not something I just watched on CNN this morning. So the people, those that were on the outside, those who were struggling, those who were in poverty and hardship, they're listening to a radical new message. Not one about the aristocracy and the religious elite. Not one about the political powers that be in Rome and all of that. No. They were listening to a message that was completely different. It was something about a kingdom, right? It was something about being part of something bigger than themselves. Jesus was talking where the last would be first. So he flips the society upside down where those who are poor and outcast, those that are the marginalized, those are the ones that don't get to be first. It's a human community that is made not of blood and genealogy and ancestry and race. Nope, that's not how we decide what this community is about. No, it's a community of God. It's a human community that's so vast, so varied throughout the entire world and earth, through human time and cosmic space, from the beginning, from our ancestors until those who come again. This is a kingdom of a human family that is not ruled by the world and the powers that be. No. It's not about might makes right. Right? It's not about who has the most. It's not about giving charity and a handout. No, it's about empowering every single being to be the fullness of who they are and created to be, that you are good, that God created you good and said, no, not only are you good, but you're very good. That's the message of the new kingdom, not one of destruction and hate and violence. Now, sometimes we get these things confused and it's kind of complicated. I was thinking of it like this day that we're celebrating. This day is St. Patrick's Day, yes? And Amy's birthday. Maybe we should call it Amy's birthday today. Well, St. Patrick, I mean, I like that. I mean, that's cool. I mean, he's with the church and stuff. But did you read the story? I mean, it sounds a little similar. I mean, it kind of goes along with a lot of the other stories in history. There was this people, right? And they had a nice life. And then this other people came from this other place, and they overthrew and conquered this people and enslaved them, took away their religion, took away everything, right? Gave them a new religion and a new identity. Call it St. Patrick's Day. I know that's terrible, right? But it's prophetically true, yes? That's what we do, right? We conquest and we conquer. And when we do it with the cross in our hands, it's quite scary, is it not? So that's the choice that we have. And ironically, I'm talking to you about a story that was written 2,000 years ago, but I don't know about you, but I think it's about as relevant as it ever could be today. Because when a group of people have a lot of power and privilege, and they want to unite themselves around common purpose, and they unite themselves by blood and race, with the power of religion, you could do a lot of damage. So, Ireland has a flag. It's green, it's orange, and it's white. The green symbolizing the Irish Catholic. The orange symbolizing the Irish Protestant. The white symbolizing the United Irish. So reconciliation is a part of the Irish tradition and history, which is really kind of a beautiful witness when you think they were a people long ago that were colonized by Christianity. And we've lost so many things from the Celtic faith and belief, so many gods, so many practices, so many religions. And you say, well, Brian, you're a Christian. I don't see why you care about it. Well, if they can do it to the Celts, can they do it to the Christian? If they do it to the Muslim, can they do it to the Buddhist? You see, it's complicated, people. It's real complicated. I love Ancestry.com. I'm on 23andMe, actually. I found out that I got Irish and Gaelic and Welsh, and I'm just a whole hot mess of conflict. And it's complicated. When I look at my life, when I look at where I came from, see, I was born at the Air Force Academy right down the road there, and I lived in Cascade right up the mountain there. And I went to a Pentecostal charismatic church there in Green Mountain Falls, and the teaching pastor was Andrew Walmack, right? And then I went off into the military and did that, and then I went to a fundamentalist evangelical Bible college, and then I hung out with communists and atheists at a state university, and then I went and I joined a mainline United Methodist denomination where I was commissioned and preaching as a pastor until that didn't work out real well, and I left there. And then I kind of started wondering, am I just not belonging anywhere? Do I not fit? And I actually, when I looked at the church, and I thought, wow, Black Lives Matter. I might be able to be accepted there, even though I'm a white guy. Why, that's weird. It's complicated. It's really complicated. I find safety when there's black folk around. I get scared when there's a lot of white people. The UCC, I used to mock them, the Unitarians Considering Christ. I used to make fun of them. They didn't know what they believed. They didn't know what they wanted. But yet, what do I find? I've gone all the way around the world. I've been to foreign countries. I've seen war. I've been in war. And I come back and I find beloved community on Union and Montebello with a beautiful view of Pikes Peak with a lesbian pastor, a whole bunch of weird people. And I feel like I finally belong. I feel like I'm finally at home. I can talk about God as my mother and my father. I can celebrate when my friends get married, and it doesn't matter who they marry. I can be a part of a group of people that haven't found a place where they belong, but this scattered group of misfits gathers together every Sunday and hears from a prophetic pastor, and we go out into the world to make a difference, to change what we see in a hate-filled, media-driven, white supremacist, war-mongering president. And that's what we have to face every day. But when we gather here, we have power and strength, amen? Because we have a God that heals. We have a God that casts out demons. We have a God that fills us up with love so that when we go out and we resist in nonviolence, not with hate, not with anger and rage, because that's not going to do it. The only way to do it is what Jesus says. Tell that fox, Trump, that we're healing folks and we got demons to cast out. We'll see you in a couple of days when we get to Washington. Amen.